It's just a great day. So we're excited about spring with all this rain. There's going to be beautiful blue bonnets these next few weeks, and we're going to miss that. We're going to miss some of those, but we're going to see some beautiful spring, no doubt, in Israel. We're so excited about that, and trusting that we'll physically be able to get to the airport on Tuesday and head out. So you keep praying for us. Lori's still a little stove up, but she's doing better. And we hope to be able to embark, Lord willing, this Tuesday. Thank you again for your support, enabling us to do that. Let's look at God's Word this morning. Again, in 2 Peter chapter 1. Today, and I'd like to read through the first 11 verses again. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Could you guys switch to the screen 2 for us, please? Got it. All right. Thank you. All right. Okay, is it not working? All right. I can't get it to work here either. I'm going to go out and come back in. Okay, good deal. All right, so let's read from the scripture. From 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, I'll read out loud and you follow along there. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word, and let's take a time to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great mercies today. We thank you for your Word, and we acknowledge in all humility, Lord, that the natural man does not receive the things of your word, but we would ask for the prompting, the illumination of your Holy Spirit, that the word might be alive and powerful in our lives and our hearts today, that we might, Lord, lay hold of those things which are needful and necessary for us, and that we might abide in your word as your people. That it would abide in our hearts, and that we would be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove your good and acceptable and perfect will. and that we may walk in light of that will. May your word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And may you direct us, Lord, in accordance with your good will and pleasure. We pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen. Well, it's a delightful day, and I just looked up and saw Johan and Abigail here. And so why don't we take just a moment to welcome this newlywed young couple in our service. And we rejoice with you guys, and we're so delighted to see you again, and trust you had a wonderful honeymoon, and we're going to continue to pray for you. So, all right. Well, okay, let's take a look. Our passage this morning is in verses 10 and verse 11. And so we look at, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and election, for you, as long as you practice these things, will never stumble or fall. So that word is fall. I know last week the question is that fail or fall? Well, it's the word for stumble or fall, and the idea here in this passage that we've been looking at is the passage about spiritual growth. Peter wants for these believers to grow spiritually. In 1 Peter, he addressed their suffering and their challenges that they were facing. In this particular book, in 2 Peter, he's looking at warning from false teaching and the damages that it does. Because as we take in the Word, there is a fruitful investment that is made toward the calling and election that God has given to us. And there's this connection that must be with the Word of God. And so when you have false teachers come in, there's the danger of being sidetracked or moved out of the will of God. And so as we take in His Word and the grace that is found in His Word, and by faith apply that Word in obedience, we walk in the light of God's will and purposes for our lives. So this fruitful investment is Peter's challenge to the believers to be faithful and true to the Word of God, to the principles of truth, to these great and precious, these magnificent and precious promises that have been given to us, that we might be made partakers of the divine nature through Christ, His Holy Spirit dwelling and living in His people. As we're filled with God's Spirit, if we're filled, as we're abiding in His Word and His truth, then we're walking true to the will and Word of God. And this is the goal. This is the challenge that Peter places before his people. And he's crying out for this fruitful investment into the very things that God has called them to. And I would pass on the good application of this word to us is that God desires for us to invest ourselves in that pursuit of God's calling and God's election, why He called you, the very purposes we can say for which we exist, but not only for which we exist, but for which God went to such ends and such means to send Jesus to die in our place in order that we might brought into a relationship with Him, into His will, that the purposes of God might unfold here on planet Earth, here in a fallen world, here where people are in rebellion. God has called us to walk in the light of that truth, that we might present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. And that happens, that takes place as we consume God's Word, as we abide in God's Word, and His truth is there, and we abide in that very real sense in this rich and abundant relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it. And everything in life is going to go wrong for us as believers as long as we're sidetracked from that one pursuit, that one goal. Because that's why you're here. It's why you exist. And so as we look at this fruitful investment, there's a challenge, there's a call that God has called you and chosen you. He has elected you. But He's asking for us to make that decision, to be in sync with His will. That's why Jesus prayed, Father, I pray that they may be one with us, as I am in you and you are in me, that they may be in us, that they may be one in us. God, Jesus Christ, prayed that you would be in sync with the Father's will, with His calling, with His election, with His purposes for you. For therein, the very purpose for which you were created, the significance of who you are is fulfilled. And the Scripture tells us that God has supplied everything perfect as is needed to live this heavenly bank account of grace that God has given to you. It is a sweet, sweet gift of grace that could not be attained in any other way other than God supplying and by His grace giving it to you, and you, by faith, receiving that grace. And He's provided everything that's necessary for walking in His will, for fulfilling that. And these are the things that we need to know in our mind, and we need to believe in our heart, and we need to make that decision. And so He's calling us to this fruitful investment. Let's look into the Word here. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to be made certain about His calling and choosing, or His calling and election. God chose you. And I don't understand all of that, but I know that the Scripture says that. It says that God called you out of that darkness, and that when you passed out of darkness and into light, you came out of death and into the life, the eternal life that Jesus Christ has given. God did that. He called you forth out of that by His mighty power. And He is our Savior. That's why we worship Him here today. Not because we are some privileged people that God just had to have, but out of His mercy and His loving kindness and this incredible gift of grace, He called us out of our darkness and into light. And we should worship Him. We should sing these songs from our heart. We should come here and gather together and praise God and serve Him with all of our lives and our strength. And it shouldn't be a problem to desire and to make that investment into what we're being called to here. So, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent. The word diligent there. Okay? So we're to invest in the grace of God there in your notes by faith. Now, this point is made all through our passage here. Go back to verse 1 there in that chapter, and it says that we have to all those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. So here's Peter, he's saying, those of you that have trusted in Christ have a faith or a trust in the same thing that we have as the disciples, as the apostles, to all of those I'm speaking to. But notice it's this faith is the unifying factor of Peter and the apostles, those that he's speaking on behalf of as an apostle of Jesus Christ, that they have this same faith. And you look there, it says, by the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We worship Him this morning. We put our faith, our trust, that what Jesus said, He that beholds the Son. and believes in Him has eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. And so we have trusted in His righteousness, that His death on the cross of Calvary paid for the full penalty for our sins, and we're made free from that penalty of sin. For the Scripture says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that's the celebration. That's the faith that we have in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. For when He went to the cross of Calvary and paid the full penalty for our sins, it was enough. It's sufficient. It has made us free from the penalty of sin. But we're not only made free from the penalty of sin, and the message goes on in these verses that we're made free from we're freed from the power of sin and the control of sin in our lives as well. So there's this investment of faith, and the Scripture says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. And we've been called to these things. Not only is our faith in God's righteousness of Jesus Christ, but in the knowledge of our God and Savior. And then it describes the aspects of that grace that has been given, that seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything that pertaining to life and godliness. This is where our trust rests. We invest in the grace of God. So we got two questions here. And pardon the pun, but how are things growing? You know, we always say, well, how are things going? But the big question here, and the thing that Peter's addressing, is how are things growing in your life? Is the life of Christ abundant? And are we experiencing the victory? And do we know the fullness? Now, I want to say it again, because our minds kind of like go into, they go somewhere, but come here. You know, to this verse, because seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to the Christian life, everything pertaining to spiritual growth, everything pertaining to life, eternal life and godliness. That's the grace of God that's given to you. So hone in on it, this truth, because God... Peter wants you, through Peter, the Holy Spirit through Peter, is expressing to you that this gift of grace has been given. And the access to that grace is through faith. It's through your believing what God has said. Trusting what God has said. Now, here's the thing about grace, is that we have the tendency to think and move immediately to some type of work or something. What is it we got to do? But grace is about what God has done. So when we by faith believe that God has given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness, then we rest. So when in Hebrews, when we enter into that faith rest, it's a beautiful picture of the grace of God and the recognition, like Peter learned, that it's not by my strength that I will either deny or stand with Christ, but God will hold me. God has supplied. God has done what I couldn't do. And so I know that my tendency and your tendency, no doubt, is to think in terms of, well, how am I growing? Well, not that great. You know, and I just can't seem to get it. And we automatically go into the what we can do mode. And we're just not getting there somewhere or some way or another. But there's a time and a place when we work out our own salvation in fear and trembling. For it's God who works in us, both to give us that desire and to do what He wants us to do. It's His will. It's His word. And if He's given it to us, if He's commanded us to do it, then we can rest assured that He will supply by His grace that power to do what we cannot do ourselves. We need grace. We need faith. We need to grow in faith. as we trust in the grace and the mighty power of God. That's where life is. That's where the experience of this eternal life. That notice that Jesus said, he that beholds the Son and believes in Him has, present tense, right now, eternal life. And we can experience joy and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. All of these things are the heavenly bank account that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And we should know it. We should embrace it. We should bask in it. Not because that we're going to be able to manage by some works of our own or some means of our own to do those things or to experience those things, but because God has freely and abundantly given it to us. And by grace, we simply choose to believe God at His Word. That's the bottom line. That's how you live the Christian life. That's spiritual growth. So how are things growing in your life? That's the question this morning. And the wonderful lesson from God's Word, the wonderful truth that's given to us here in these verses. And there's a second question that we might ask. Why haven't we got to the... Oh, I put them in and didn't tell Lori. That's all right. Okay, we're good to go. There's a second question now. And that is, how do we endeavor by faith and not works? And of course, I've already addressed that. But the idea is that we, as God's people, have the tendency to think it's faith plus works equals salvation. And it's just the nature of our old sin nature. That's the way we're designed. And so there's always this conflict. The flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And it's not going to change tomorrow. You're still going to have that battle. But we need to understand the truth. And the truth of it is faith equals salvation plus works. And that's the formula. That's the formula for growth, for spiritual growth. That's the formula for knowing the grace of God and the power of God in our lives. And so all of our striving and stressfulness and pushing and beating ourselves to death in regard to our inability and our failure, they're designed to cause us to be more dependent upon God, more dependent upon His grace, more dependent upon His power that has been abundantly supplied to us in the eternal life that is given to us in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can compare to this gift that God has given to you. And you've been called into this wonderful life that Jesus has for you. Doesn't mean that there's not going to be troubles and sorrows and trials and tests here, but it does mean that the power, the mighty power of God, is sufficient in its supply for you. So encourage your heart this morning in this truth that God, this faith, this same faith that Peter had is given to you. The same strength that Peter had is given to you. The same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is given to each one of you. God's not withholding it from you. It's simply received and accepted by faith, not because you're a great person or because that you lived up to the standards of the law, but because Jesus lived up to the standards of the law, and Jesus supplied that grace, and Jesus is able to do. He's our Lord and Savior. And He's able to do what He said He would do. So, and then moving on and back to our verse then, we're challenged to be more diligent. And I like to use the word endeavor, but I put it in the title, the idea of invest. Invest in this heavenly bank account. Invest in the grace that God has given to you. Invest in the wonderful grace of Jesus. And we sing the songs, we speak of His grace, we speak of His mighty power, but to experience it, to know the full reality of it, the Scripture tells us to endeavor to fulfill God's plan. This same word is used in Ephesians 3:11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. He endeavored to do it. He was diligently at work to do those things. And so, in like manner, God asked that we be quickened and endeavor in regard to God's purposes and His plan. So, endeavor to fulfill God's plan is the idea. Now, this idea of fulfilling God's plan, well, that's kind of an interesting thing, because it has the tendency to move us back to works, doesn't it? We start thinking, okay, I'm going to endeavor. And so we automatically go into the what we're going to do mode. Okay? But notice that he says to fulfill God's calling and purposes for you, his election of you, and to make certain that calling and election. So in the fulfillment of those things, there's the completion of that. When by faith, by God's grace, by faith, we lay hold and we're walking in light of His Word, in obedience to the truth of His Word. So we endeavor to work or to walk in the light of that truth that's given to us. By faith, God enable me, and God will enable me. And so what happens? We fall into some area where there's failure, and Jesus teaches us to pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So it's not that God expects that we will not experience those failures, but He's provided the grace that we don't have to experience those failures. And so we're called to walk in light of that truth, in light of God's plan. And when we do in obedience to the Word, that's the experience of eternal life. We can have that and know it. And this is in accordance with God's eternal purpose for you, His election, His calling and election of each one of us. And it takes place by faith. And then secondly, endeavor to practice partaking of this divine nature by faith. The scripture says, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now understand that, because people that misunderstand scripture automatically go in again into the works mode, and working out your own salvation means that, well, okay, I got to get busy and start doing things. But that's not what this means. Working out your own salvation means in fear and in humility before God, that we approach His Word, that we approach His commands in humility. And what that means is that God wants you so completely and utterly dependent upon Him that you're experiencing that relationship that Jesus Christ prayed for, that your will is the same as His, and that it comes into sync with God's will. That's why automatically when we come into areas of temptation, we throw ourselves into prayer, because working out that salvation, endeavoring as we're being called to here to make that investment, means that in that challenge we're praying, Lord, let my heart trust You, as the psalmist prayed. And God, order my steps in accordance with Your Word, as the psalmist prayed. And that Word of God, that truth of God, so becoming a reality in our life. Because you see, we can know a lot about the Word and not know it in that way, in that manner, right? Isn't that true? Can't we know Scripture? And don't you know folks that know Scripture? And maybe you're one that knows a lot of Scripture, but the actual experience and the practical belief of that truth that we so fall short of, we all do that. We do it. And there's a place where we have to come to working out that salvation in fear and trembling, knowing that God has given, His Holy Spirit's given me the desire for holiness, to be like God, to look like Jesus. He wants for you. Jesus is the vine, but you're the branches. The world is seeing Jesus through you. That's what that means. That's what Jesus called you to. That's God's plan and purpose for redemption of mankind. You're the link between those that are lost and God, who is able to give them life. You are that link. So God gives you the desire. He gives you not only the desire, but the will to do. And that's what we need. And so when we pray, we take that scripture that we know about, and we say, "Oh, ye of little faith," like Jesus would be saying to us. And then we take that and we say, "God, do your work. Give to me by your grace what you said you would give to me, all things that pertain to life and godliness. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from unrighteousness." And we confess our sin to God, and we acknowledge that what His Word says is true and what we do is not true. And make me in sync, God, with your will, in accordance with your Word. Walking in the light of His Word, ordering our steps according to God's Word, is a wonderful pleasure that only the believer, only you as a Christian are given under the new covenant of Christ's blood. Only through His work alone can we know this type of relationship with God and have this type of relationship with Jesus Christ, so that He is living in and through us, and we actually experience the divine nature of Jesus Christ, His Spirit in us. That's what you're called to. That's what this passage says. That's what the grace of God is. That's what the grace that Jesus Christ has spoken and has given to you is all about. It's about His sufficiency, His power, His salvation, His glory. And when this is true of you, there's nothing that you can do except praise Him and give God the glory for what only God could do. Nothing that compares to it. It is the ultimate gift. It is the thing that we should endeavor to succeed in the calling and election of our God. Confirm it and confirm that this is God's will. We're proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need holiness. We need people that are pursuing God. We need people that love God. People that can sing from their hearts when they come in here and worship God and give Him praise and thanksgiving, so that no one can come in here and say, "Well, this church is dead. They're like singing words just out of their mouth." But no, they're singing from their heart and expressing glory to God and expressing the glory of God and His greatness. He's a great and awesome God, and He's able to do great and mighty things which we know not, exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And the only limitation is our faith. That's the only limitation to us. It's tragic, because I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be before the Bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, that one day we're all going to be there, and we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we'll go, "Oh, how many opportunities were there? How often I could have drawn from the well that God gave to me in the grace of Jesus Christ for all things that pertain to life and godliness, and how many times I did not endeavor. I was not diligent in endeavoring for the grace of God, that power of God, that gift of God, by faith to be worked out in my life." It's just a matter of believing rightly, believing the truth of God's Word. Now, when we get to chapter 2, we'll look at the problem of believing falsely, believing outside of God's Word, which is what we all do, being conformed to the image of this world, or to the ideas of this world, to the thoughts of this world, to the pursuits of this world. When we're conformed to those things, then we're outside of the will of God, and our thinking is wrong. But if we believe and hold to those things, they're false and misleading. But when we hold to the Word of God, it's eternal. His word is established in the heavens. It's eternal. And it will not fail. It cannot fail. And we need faith. We need to grow in faith to know the wonder of this wonderful truth that God has given to us. Thirdly, in verse 10 here, it says in the last part, therefore, as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Okay, so to fulfill the confirmation of your election and calling, and this is a wonderful thing. In the Greek, it's a double negative, and it's oume, and these are both negatives. And it says, for as long as you practice things, no, you will not ever, you know, it's just going on. I mean, it's emphasis. You will never fall. Okay? So, look at what it's saying here. It's saying that we, if we practice these things, if we endeavor, we keep our focus upon the will of God and just the desire. And I know that sometimes it's difficult for us because we're like, okay, what is the will of God here? And what exactly is the will of God? But He's sovereign. And when we know the Word, we can rest and know. And, you know, it's just our prayer. God, You've given it to me Your Word, and I've got some decisions to make here and things that have come up. And I'm lacking wisdom, but I seek Your wisdom. And God providentially takes us through these things. He will not fail us, but we always think that God is going to fail us. But we need to grow our faith in such a way that we know God is not going to fail me. I can trust Him, and He's going to supply the wisdom. I'm going to take these actions, and we have to make a decision about certain actions. And so we say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting in Your sovereignty. I'll rest and trust in You in accordance to Your will, toward this election and calling that You've given to me. I'm seeking this. I'm endeavoring toward that and toward that goal. So I give You this decision that I'm making. Okay? Now, you may change that. For Lori and I, for instance, this week, her back may still be out, and we may, we're trusting that we had a desire, and there's a decision to be made. So we're moving forward by faith that all is going to be well, and we're going to get on the plane and go. But our prayer is always, God, if that's not Your will, I mean, everything's working out this way, the doors have all opened, the finances have been put in place, everything's ready to go, so we're trusting we're going to go. But if You change that, we're still going to trust You. And that goes back, Rob, to the sovereignty of God, right? Because we're trusting that God has His hand in all things. And sometimes there are certain things that happen that are outside of our control that are always in God's sovereign control. Sometimes those things seem to be bad. But what the Scripture and the promise, you know, it says these great and precious promises here. He's granted to us great and precious promises. And the promise of God is that all things work together for good. Well, do I believe that? Does Lori believe that? Well, if all things work together for good, then if for some reason God and His sovereignty and the providential working of things that happen, we can't get on the plane on Tuesday, then we're going to thank God because His will is always better than ours, and we can know that all things are working together for good, and we're trusting in the sovereign God. That's faith. That's faith in believing that God is in control and that He knows things that we do not know, that God is completely just, and that God is loving, that He, in His love, all of His actions toward us are love, even when it seems wrong. So we're looking through the lens of Scripture and not this world, not looking through the world's lens, the way the world thinks. And it's a great life. There's a lot of peace there. There's a lot of joy there. There's a certainty of knowing that this God that loves you and that has done so much, you're expressing to Him, we trust You, we believe You. we know that your integrity is good, and that glorifies Him. That's what He wants from us. That's how He wants us to react. And if our faith in His calling and election for us is resting in such a way that God will do these things, then we won't fall. We'll move right down the center of God's will, just right there, right in sync with exactly what He knows to be doing, not what we think should be done, but what He knows to be doing. Can you trust God in that way? I'm asking you right now in your seat, in your heart. Can you say, Lord God, I want to trust You. I want to walk with You in this kind of way. I want to know You in this kind of way, that You're sovereign, that You are God. I mean, He's not some superior being. He's not someone that's simply greater and smarter than You. God, He knows everything. And if we really believe that, then we can entrust our lives to Him, can't we? Can't we trust our lives to Him? Can't we trust our relationships to Him and walk in light of that truth, loving one another? And can't we resolve conflicts? Can't we know the fullness of life in Christ by the beauty of the person of Christ? Can't we experience and know those things, know that eternal life right here, right now? There's part of it's a decision on our heart, in our life, to believe God or not believe God. And I'm calling for each one of you to make that decision in your heart today. Get there. Go there where God wants you. Know the richness of His glory. Know the beauty of what only God can do. So endeavor to fulfill. In endeavoring to fulfill these things, you will never stumble. Isn't that great? Man, I just to walk, to finish the course. God's got a plan for you. And there's going to be a day when you go to the grave. It'll, barring the Lord Jesus' return, you're going to die. Every one of us here. We're facing, and death is there. But in between that time is this walk that we will determine, and that will be determined as to whether God is in control, God is in charge, and His purposes are being fulfilled in our lives or not. That's the bottom line. And so endeavor to fulfill God's plan. Endeavor to fulfill His calling and election for you. And as you endeavor, by the grace of God, you will never, no, not ever, stumble, never fall. But your walk will be clean and pure before God. And that should be every one of our goals, that we can reach the end of that course and be ushered out of this life and into the life after death and the eternal life that Jesus Christ has promised to us. Waiting for that day when He comes and returns, and these bodies that would go into the grave are actually resurrected out of the grave. That's His promise. That's His truth. So it makes all of the challenges here worth it, all of the trials. Looking in at verse 11, I think I've covered everything there. Verse 11, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Again, this word abundant, this idea that He has granted to you everything that pertains to life and godliness, this truth in verse 4, by these He has granted to us precious and magnificent promises in order that you might become partakers of divine nature, that is abundant. It is a heavenly bank account. And we can draw out of that bank account that God has given to us by faith or not. We can either bank on what God has given or not. That's what faith is. That's what it means. So we are to invest because God's grace has been abundantly supplied, provided for us. Verse 2 Peter 1:11, this entrance into the eternal kingdom, there's going to be a day. I'm telling you, there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day when Jesus Christ returns. And his promises to you are that you will reign with him. Okay? That's what's given to the church, that the bride of Christ is going to reign with Christ. And there's places where you reign. There are rewards that are given. And these rewards, this entrance, you're endeavoring by faith, and the work that is done by God's grace through faith in and through you will determine position. It will determine reward in God's kingdom. And what he's saying here is, for in this way, your entrance into the eternal kingdom, that's Christ's kingdom, right? Okay, so Christ is going to return, and he's going to bring in that kingdom, and it will be abundantly supplied. There will be treasure in Christ that we carry in regard to our faith. So endeavor to enter by faith. Okay? The future eternal kingdom. That's a future tense there. Very, very interesting, because now the endeavor, I didn't mention, but that is a command. It is an imperative verb. And we're commanded to endeavor toward that calling. As we enter that by faith, there is a future promise. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So the Bema seat of Christ is a judgment for believers. Okay, these are the ones that have eternal life. These are the ones that will enter in. But there's a judgment that takes place in regard to what is done in the flesh. The fruit that you bear, or that Christ bears through you by faith, by your trust in him and walk with him, will be judged. Okay, so what can we say about our election, our calling by God? The one thing that's very clear in Scripture is that the decisions that we make are the basis on which we're judged by. Okay? It's true in Romans chapter 1, is it not? It's true here. Okay? So you say, well, I don't understand. Are we elect, and does God do all of this, or do we, or is it these good works or bad works? I don't understand that. Well, I don't either. I don't completely understand how God's sovereignty and man's choosing and his ability to make choice works together. But I can say this one thing is very clear. The election is true. God's calling is true. Those truths are truths in Scripture. You can't deny them. You can't pretend that they do not exist. God is in control. He's in charge. He does the electing. He's the one that saves. He does that work. And yet, it's very clear in Scripture that our works, whether good or bad, we're judged for, and it's based on the basis of our choice, the basis of decisions that we make. Whether we endeavor toward that calling and election of God and confirm that or not is the basis on which, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we'll be judged. Okay? So, I hope that's not too confusing about works. I have learned to be very comfortable with both truths, that of God's complete sovereignty, of God being completely in charge, of the eternal aspect of God living not only here in this moment, but in eternity past. And in eternity future. In fact, he's unconstrained by time. Now that's mind-boggling, but that means that God is already at the judgment seat of Christ. He's already there and exists in who God is. He's transcendent. He's above all of these things. And I've learned to appreciate the fact that as we are created in the image of God, that he's given to us the ability to choose as well. And that we're judged on the basis of that choice. And those choices are real choices. And so God is just in judging us on the basis of those choices. And Those are big things. Those are deep things, but they're true things, and both are true, even though they seem paradoxical in Scripture. They're very true, and so live with it. You know, just live with it. Okay, so we want to come into God's kingdom. We want to enter into that kingdom, that future eternal kingdom, with the riches of treasure that is heavenly treasure that will not fade, will not pass away. So let's look then where to endeavor to enter by faith with an abundant supply of grace. And that grace that has been supplied, and Jesus, notice what Jesus taught. He says, "But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay. Again, I want to issue a challenge before each one of you this morning. This treasure that Christ speaks of, it's my prayer that I myself, and that each one of you would enter in to God's kingdom, to Christ's kingdom, with much treasure, with the abundance of treasure that's given by God's grace, that's given in relation to your faith or trust in that grace provision that God has given, so that there are things in store for each one of you that are rich and abundant and that you will cherish for all eternity. And if we can just keep our thoughts, our focus, our minds on those things, if we can just stay there, if we can just keep that focus in abandoning all to follow after Christ, believing this truth from God's Word, then I am certain that God will so enrich your eternal life in eternity with Christ that you will never, ever have one single regret for everything that you offered up sacrificially here in service to God in light of His Word and that which is spoken to you. Father in heaven, bless your people. I thank you for your loving kindness and your grace. God, bless us as we go out that we might walk in light of your truth, that we might know, seeing that your divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him, our Lord Jesus, who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us these magnificent and precious promises in order that by them we might become partakers of your divine nature, mm-hmm. having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, that we might know and that we might walk in your spiritual light and truth. And we pray for these things in Jesus' name. Did want to say one.